before we start the Mishnah, you need to give an introduction a little bit to this Gemara. We find in Pirkei Avos there's a Mishnah that says Hamavaza es Hamayades, one who shames the Moyed. Now normally Moyed is translated as Yomtiv, but in Gemara, usually the word Moyed refers to Chol HaMoyed. If it speaks about the Yomtiv itself, it usually calls it Regel, but Moyed refers to Chol HaMoyed. Now in Chol HaMoyed, even though it's Chol HaMoyed, but like we learned halachically, it's more Moyed than Chol. And therefore, on Chol HaMoyed, you're really not allowed to do work. You're not allowed to do malacha. There's a machlekes in the Rishonim. There's really three opinions, but two official opinions. Is work forbidden on Chol HaMoyed biblically or rabbinically? Later on, the Gemara is going to quote Psukim that teach us that it's mamish, that it's seemingly that you learn out from the Torah that it's forbidden to do work malacha on Chol HaMoyed. But some paskim write, it's really rabbinic, but the Torah is an asmachta, meaning they find a hint to it in the Torah. But even according to the opinion that it's min haTorah, it's not that it's just a blanket statement, you're not allowed to do malacha and Chol HaMoyed. The Torah says, you're not allowed to do malacha. What is malacha? The Torah says the rabbis will decide what is allowed and what's not allowed. So therefore, when the Chacham decide it's not allowed, it's biblical. What they don't decide, in fact, that's really a third opinion in Paskim. It's like, what the Chachamim forbid becomes biblical, and what they don't forbid is either rabbinic or allowed completely. Now, there's certain, like we're going to learn as we continue in the Gemara, because basically the first part of this Gemara deals with Chol HaMoyed, all the laws of Chol HaMoyed, what you're allowed to do, what you're not allowed to do. So, what are the classifications? He says in the introduction, just sums it up in very, very well, so to speak. Chachamim permitted on Chol HaMoyed certain types of malachas. Number one, something which is called Dover HaAvod. Dover HaAvod means something that if you don't do it, you're going to lose money. And we will learn, even in the Mishnah, that doesn't mean not making a profit. Not making a profit, the Chachamim did not permit to do work on Yom Tov. What the Chachamim permitted on Yom Tov is if you're going to lose money. By not doing what you're doing, you're going to lose money, so then you're doing. Then you're allowed to do it on Yom Tov. What happens though, if I don't do it, I'm not going to make a profit? The Chacham said, tough luck, that you can't do. So the first category of malacha which is allowed in Yom Tov is what's called Dover HaAvod. Second one.
Isn't it always a profit?
No, there's a difference between losing money. In fact, we're going to see in the first mission, we're going to see a case of why it's Dover HaAvod. But if it's to make a profit, then you're not allowed to. Now, the second thing that you're allowed to do, anything pertaining to food. I mean, any type of cooking, whatever it takes, as far as food goes, no problem on Chol HaMoyed. Third is a worker who has no money to live, and if he doesn't go to work, he probably won't make a living. So that is also, the Chachamim permitted that person to work on Chol HaMoyed, because Pashut, he needs the money. If not, he won't be able to live. The next category of things you're allowed to do on Yom Tov is anything needed for the Yom Tov itself. And anything you need to do for Yom Tov, for instance, like he says, well, even then, it's only what's called Maisa Hedyet, if it's not done professionally. Like, you need something built for Yom Tov, you're allowed to do Chol HaMoyed, but it can't be done professional work. It has to be done like Hedyet. They're very, very simple guys' work. And the last thing which is allowed on Chol HaMoyed is what's called Tzar Chirabim. It's the needs of the community. That the Mishnah is also going to talk about. Things that are needed for the community, public, that you're also allowed to do. Now, what categories did Chacham forbid, even under these circumstances? So he gives over here four categories. Number one, if a person left the work to be done on Chol HaMoyed. You know, the guy says, you know what, Chol HaMoyed, I'm not going to work, I have plenty of time, let me leave it for Chol HaMoyed. So Chacham said, no, that you're not allowed to do. If you could have done it before Yom Tov, and you just left it over to do Chol HaMoyed, you're not allowed to do it. Another category which is important for the upcoming mission we're going to start, Tirchi Yaseira. Anything that involves a lot of work and a lot of effort, even though you're going to lose money, even though you need it for Yom, you're not allowed to do it. And that's what we see Mamish in the first mission of the Perek. Third thing is something just to work, even permitted work, we'll see later in the Gemara, to get paid for doing it, you're not allowed to either. You know, you're not supposed, unless, like you said before, you need the money, you need to live, so then you're allowed to. But a guy that doesn't need to live, you're not allowed to pay him to do something, even things which are permitted to do. The last thing is, even when you're allowed to do melacha, we can't do it publicly. to give you one example that we'll learn much later on in the Gemara, you're not allowed to take haircut chol hamoed. Mm-hmm. Why are you not allowed to take a haircut chol hamoed? Because before Yom Tov, everybody's busy. Chol hamoed, they have some time. So a guy says, you know what? Why do I have to bother taking a haircut before Yom Tov? I have the chol hamoed. I have plenty of time to do it. So what happens? He goes into Yom Tov looking like with long hair, despicable. So Chum said, uh-uh. You don't take a haircut before Yom Tov, you're not allowed to take a haircut chol hamoed. Therefore, we'll learn later that what in the third parak, what happens if somebody couldn't take a haircut before Yom Tov, i.e. they were in prison. So then you can't take a haircut, then you're allowed to take a haircut chol hamoed. Because then for sure we know you didn't leave it for chol hamoed, you just couldn't do it before. Or to give you another example, a kid that turns 3 and chol hamoed sukkos. So upsharonish. So you couldn't give him a haircut before Yom Tov, so you can do an upsharonish on sukkos. Pesach he can't because it's Sfira. That's a different story, it's nothing to do with chol hamoed. So these are the various concepts of melacha that a person is allowed to do and not allowed to do. Poskim write, sorry to say, that people today are very, very lenient with the laws of chol hamoed, and when we learn the Gemara, we'll see that it's not really correct according to halacha to be meikel and to be lenient with doing melacha and chol hamoed, because chol hamoed really is asir melacha. There's certain hatedim that chachamim allowed because of necessity or yom tif or whatever it is that a person could work on chol hamoed, but otherwise you're really not allowed to work on chol hamoed. Okay. Now the Mishnah obviously is going to be talking about the style, the things which are common in the time of the Gemara. Okay, so the Mishnah starts off by saying, "Mashkin beisa shalchin b'mayit." You're allowed to water a beisa shalchin. A beisa shalchin means a field, like Rashi explains, which is in the mountains. It doesn't get a lot of rain, and it has to be irrigated. So basically, beisa shalchin refers to an irrigated field. Now, as we will learn, the Gemara is going to explain, the Mefarshim explain, that if you don't water this field, it's going to be a tremendous loss. And the Gemara will explain that this refers to a field that you started watering already before Chol Hamoed, before Yom Tov. Because if you don't plant a field, you don't water it, nothing bad is going to happen to it. No, you're not going to get a loss of money. But if you started watering it, and the seed starts the germinating, whatever you call it, sprouting, and then you don't water it, then you're going to lose a lot of money. So because this field needs watering, it needs irrigation, so the din is, you're allowed, and if not, you're going to lose money. So the Mishnah says, Mashkin beis ha-shalchan b'meid, you're allowed to water this on Yom Tov, on Chol Hamoed, not Yom Tov, Chol Hamoed, and u'bashvi'is, also during the Shemitah year. Now in this case, the Gemara's Mishnah is going to be likening a chol hamoed to Shemitah. Because we know Shemitah, you're also not allowed to work in the field. Right? Mm-hmm. So in that respect, it's similar to chol hamoed. So this Mishnah is saying that you're allowed to water such an irrigated field. If you don't water it, you're going to lose. So you're allowed to water it on chol hamoed and on Shemitah. And he says, what are you allowed to water it from? Bein mimayin sheyotze betchila, whether it's a new spring, meaning that just started flowing, bein mimayin shaliyotze betchila, or whether it's a spring, an irrigation canal that was already working from before. What's the difference between the two? It's a very simple difference. A new spring sometimes might collapse because, you know, it never was working before. So you don't know how the earth is going to hold up. So it might collapse. If it collapses, it's a big work to re-get it going. And we learned before that something which has a lot of effort and bother, you're not allowed to do. But the Mishnah says, you're still allowed to do it, even from a new spring, because we're not afraid it's going to collapse. But you can't make a new spring on Chol HaMoed, because that's a lot of work. And we learned, even Tavid HaAvud, if it's a lot of work, you're not allowed to do it. So the Mishnah says, whether it's a new spring or an old spring, you're allowed to water the Beis HaShach on this irrigated field during Chol HaMoed, because if you don't do it, you're going to lose money. Aval Ein Mashkin, but you're not allowed to water even an irrigated field. Lei Mi Meik Shamim, not from rainwater. I'll explain in a second. Velei Mi Mei Akilin, and not from water of a well. When they used to get rain, they used to gather the rain in a pond, and then they, with pails, they used to take the water out of the pond and water the fields, the irrigated fields. Or the same thing from a well. So that you're not allowed to do already, because that's a lot of work. You know, just opening up the pipes for the irrigation canals to go, that's not a lot of work. And it's a Dovid HaAvud, you're going to lose money, so you're allowed to do it. But to do a lot of work, such as schlepping the water with pails from the well or from the pool of rainwater, that you're talking not allowed to do. And the next thing is, Einasin Ugiyas Likfanim, you're not allowed to make ditches. In the olden times when they did farming, in order for the grapes to grow, they needed a lot of water. So they used to dig ditches around the vine, and the water should gather there. So you're not allowed to dig ditches around the vine in Chol HaMoed to be able to collect the water. And again, all these things, so far that the Mishnah permitted, is two things. Number one, there's a big loss of money. Secondly, it's not a lot of work. Therefore, even those things that are allowed to work, that which are a lot of work, you're talking not a lot to do on Chol HaMoed.
Unless
if you're a worker, but that's, we're talking about now the boss, the owner, doing it. Uh-huh. Now, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, amen. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, "Ein eitzin es so'amer betchila b'meidu b'shvias." You're not allowed to dig new irrigation on Chol HaMoed or Shemitah. Okay? Now, Rashi is an interesting thing. Why is, not here, but in a different place, Rashi explains, why is it called an amma? An irrigation canal is called an amma. So the Mefarshim explained why. Because they used to build it an amma wide and an amma deep. That was the measurements of an irrigation canal. So because they made it an amma, a cubit deep and a cubit wide, so they called it an amma already. That was the irrigation canal. So to do it, you're not allowed to do it Chol HaMoed. Why? Because it's a lot of work. That's what Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says. And he says, you're not allowed to do it not Chol HaMoed and not Shemitah. Chachamim Eimnim, but the Chachamim say, no. Eisen es ha'ame betchila b'shvias. And Shemitah, you're allowed to do it. Okay, but, umisaknin es ha'makukolas b'meid. And you can repair the damaged ones on Chol HaMoed. But you can't make a new one. Meaning, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, you can't make a new irrigation canal, not Moed, not Chol HaMoed, and not Shemitah. The Chachamim say Shemitah, yes, but you can fix the old ones, but you can't make a new one. So there's an argument to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, basically, not so much about Moed, but whether you could do it in Shemitah or not.
So fixing is not the main work.
Fixing is not as much work as making a new one. They bring it up for the Me'iri. The Me'iri writes that digging it is a lot of work. Because when you have to dig what's called virgin soil, it's a lot of work to do. But here the earth caved in. So basically it's easy to shovel it out. It's much easier than digging a new canal in the ground. So therefore you're allowed to. And then the Mishnah continues with an example of tzorchei rabim, things that are needed for the public. Misaknim is kokule amayim shebishusha rabim. You're allowed to repair the public drinking places from the street. You used to have the cisterns, as they were called in English, the drinking wells that people drank from the street. So you're allowed to repair damaged ones because people needed to drink water from it. V'chaita t'neisam, you can clear them out, because like the Mefarshim explain, what happens is inside these drinking wells, pebbles used to fall in, and schmutz, dirt used to fall in, they had to clean it out. They didn't have filters like we have today. So the din was, you're allowed to fix them if they broke, you're allowed to clean them out. You're allowed to repair the roads and the streets. You're allowed to repair the roads and the streets because that's again what people need. You're allowed to do any public need. And the Gemara later will explain what is the Mishnah referring to, because it already said a bunch of public things. Then it gives a general statement, anything public you're allowed to fix. The Gemara will explain that later.
So even if it's a lot of work, you do tzorcher abim.
Tzorcher abim you're allowed to. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily. Yeah, I'm sorry. Even if it's a lot of work, you could do it. Tzorcher abim. Then it says, umetzaynes ekvaris, you're allowed to mark the graves. In the time of the Gemara, they didn't have like we have today cemeteries with, people were buried everywhere. So they used to pour lime, like pitch, but not black pitch, like white lime over the graves that people should know they're a grave to stay away from them. Because a guy who had to eat truma, or he had to go to the base of Migdash, he couldn't come in contact with the grave. So how did they make everybody know there was a grave? They made it like today we have monuments, but in old times they used to have like they poured lime over it. The yates and afala klayim. And this is a different din, really. And this din is that Beis Din would send out shluchim to make sure people didn't plant kalayim. Now, kalayim is a mixture of different species of grains or fruits or things like that. Not only is it forbidden to plant, it's forbidden to allow it to stay. That means if you own a land, even though you didn't plant it, somebody else planted it, you have to uproot it. And people were not so careful in that. So Beis Din used to send out shluchim a few times a year to make sure that people weren't doing it. So the din is, Chol HaMoed, Beis Din is able to send out the shluchim even...
But once it's created, you can benefit from it, can't you?
If the person's field, he has to get rid of it.
But once it's created...
Once it's created, you're allowed to. Unless if it's wheat and grape seed. Now, the Mefarshim ask, sending out shluchim is not a lot of work. I mean, why is it? What's the Mishnah telling us? That he can even send out the people to make sure there's no kalayim. So the Mefarshim explain what the Mishnah means over here is that the Mishnah is not telling us that you're allowed to do it. The Mishnah is just telling us when they used to do it. When did Beis Din send out shluchim on Chol HaMoed Pesach? That was the time they needed to send. Sukkot they didn't have to send because there was already, everything was harvested back into the house already. But Pesach was the time things started growing. So Pesach time, the Mishnah says, v'af yetzin af alaklaim, because that's when, but it would not, it's not a din in Chol HaMoed. It's just telling us when Beis Din would send out the shluchim to check the fields to make sure that nothing wrong was going on.
They were permitted or they were not permitted?
They were permitted, they did it.
And uprooting the klaim, that's okay?
Yeah, because it's an aveira. So any kalayim that the shluchim found, they actually uprooted it to punish the, you know, because the person did an aveira. And the reason, again, why Beis Din did it, because people were so lenient in it, that it's not a problem.
Do you know it's such an advantage to do?
You know how many fruits we eat today are grafted?
I don't. But the goyim did it.
Yeah, I'm saying you're not allowed to graft things, but you're allowed to eat it. Not if it's your field, though. Your field, you have to uproot it.
How do they graft it?
They mix two seeds together. What do you mean, how do they
graft? I mean, they put the...
Yeah.
Well, it grows...
They
mix the seeds.
Well, I mean, there's hundreds...
No,
I mean,
what happens? It comes out two
yeah,
different...
Yeah, it comes
trees.
Out... Yeah, it mix.
We learned that in the agriculture
class. Come on up. Okay. There's a lot of nectarine.
Nectarine.
Is a mixture between a peach.
Tangerine.
No.
Peach.
The
tangerine orange.
No. Not nectarine.
Oh, nectarine. I thought it meant tangelos. Like tangelos.
Tangelos could also be.
What is it? It's an orange and orange.
Orange and tangerine.
No, not a nectarine. Nectarine is also a mixture. A lot of fruits are mixtures of two fruits.
That the education of a child is only when the child is...
Unless the only one that's mamish, not only forbidden to eat, you can't even benefit from, is what's called klai hakerem, when you mix wheat and grapes, that's forbidden to benefit from. It's also banah.
What do you get from that?
No, they just used to put them next to each other, oh, and they grafted. I don't know if the creator actually probably helped the taste of something, whatever. But it actually, that's mamash also banah.
Well, so we had a question. So if you live in Israel and you know a guy that makes kelaim,
you're allowed to eat it. You're allowed to eat it.
But you're helping him do an aveda. You're supporting.
If you don't buy it, somebody else will buy it. Yeah, so in Israel they're more stricter because it's minateira.
Like,
I don't know. Okay, now the Gemara asks like this. In the Mishnah it says, you're allowed to irrigate the Beis HaShalchan, the irrigated field, whether it's a new well, a new canal, or an old one. And we said, what's the chiddush? That I would think a new one you wouldn't be allowed to because it might collapse. And then you're going to fix it. And it's a lot of work. So the Gemara asked, Hashta yeshlema, but if the Mishnah says, Mimayin sheyotze betchila, if the Mishnah says the halacha that you're allowed to do it from a well, that's new, even though we're afraid the Osalin pulley where it might collapse, Mashkin. Yet the Mishnah says you're allowed to water it Mimayin Shalyotza Betchila from a well that is not new, meaning a well that's already the canal that's working well. The Lay Osalin pulley where it's not going to fall, me boy, I would need it the Mishnah to tell me that. If the Mishnah says I can water it with a new canal, so for sure an old canal I could do it. Because what's a bigger problem? A new canal is a bigger problem than an old canal, because a big canal might collapse. And then you might come to fix it, which is a lot of work. So if the Mishnah says you can use a new canal, for sure an old canal I could use. So why does the Mishnah say whether it's new or old? The Mishnah should just say you're allowed to use even a new canal, and definitely I would know an old canal. Why does the Mishnah say the extra words, new or old? So the Gemara says, Amen, I'll tell you. It's the I need it. Why? Because without it, I would misinterpret the Mishnah. Why? Eton amayin sheyotze batchila, if it says only a new well, that I could use a new canal, I'm using the word well, meaning canal, I would think, avamina, hochuhu de beis shalchan in, then when could I do it? Only in a beis shalchan, meaning in a field that needs to be irrigated, then I could do it. Beis abal, but a rain-watered field, I would think I'm not allowed to. Shmishum da asalin puli, because it might collapse. Meaning, a beis habal is a field that sustains itself basically from rainwater. That means you don't need any irrigation. Okay, because it gets enough rainwater to sustain itself. So the Gemara says like this, if it would only say a new well, I would think a new well, only a beis hashalchan could use it, because it needs the water. But a beis habal, where I really don't need it, I would think, then you're not allowed to water it from a new well. But, mayin shelo yotze betchila, but if it's an old canal, I would think, the layosel and pulley, which is not going to fall, I would think even the valley field I would be able to irrigate with an old well. Migmar saying it's a very simple thing. There's two fields and there's two types of irrigation. There's an irrigated field that needs to be irrigated, and there's a rain field that doesn't. Then you have a new canal and an old canal. So there's two fields and two canals. So the Gemara said like this, if our Mishnah only said you can water a beis hashalchan, the irrigated field, with a new canal, I would think that only a new canal you cannot water the rain field. But an old canal, I would think you would be allowed to water a rain field with it. Because what does the Mishnah say? You cannot water, I mean, you're allowed to water Beis HaShalchan with a new canal. Which means, the rain field, I can't with a new one. But I would think with an old one, with an old canal, maybe I could even water a rain field. That's what I would learn the Mishnah. Because what's the Mishnah saying? A Beis HaShalchan, an irrigated field, I can water with a new canal. That means, what's the Mishnah excluding? A rain field, Beis HaBaal is called, with an irrigated new field, new canal, I cannot water. But if it's an old one, maybe it would be allowed to water a rain field. And that's not correct. Because a rain field can never be watered Chol HaMoed. Because it has enough water, what do you have to work for? Anything that has enough water, you're not allowed to irrigate.
What if it's a drought?
Then you wouldn't have irrigation either. How are you going to get irrigation? No, then it's a drought, there's a drought. You wouldn't have it. So the Gemara says, if the Mishnah only said, Beis HaShalchan, I can do even a new well, I would think, what's the Mishnah teaching me? That a rain field, you cannot use a new a canal. But an old canal, you would be allowed to use. And that's wrong. Kamash Malon, so the Gemara continues, says, so the Mishnah is teaching us, Leishna Mayin Sheyotze Betchila. It doesn't matter whether the well is a new well, a canal. Veleishna Mayin Sheyotze Betchila. It doesn't matter whether the canal is an old canal. The Mishnah says, what am I allowed to water on a Chol HaMoed? Only a Beis HaShalchan. Only the irrigated field. Beis HaShalchan in only the Beis HaShalchan I could do, but Beis HaBaal, but the rain-watered field, I cannot do anyway. And that's the halacha. Because there's no loss of money. If there's no loss, you're not allowed to do it. So the Gemara is answering as follows. A Beis HaShalchan, you can water because you need it, and if not, it's going to get spoiled. You're allowed to water it with a new canal or an old canal. A Beis HaBaal, the rainwater field, you cannot water it all. So in a practical sense today, are you allowed to water your lawn on Chol HaMoed? The answer is yes, because if you don't water it, it's going to ruin.
It's not a Beis HaBaal.
In California, your grass grows from Beis HaBaal. Summertime, it rains. We're talking about places where you need to water it. So over there, today you can water your lawn in Chol HaMoed, not Yom Tov, obviously, Chol HaMoed. You're allowed to water your lawn, because if you don't, it's going to cause a loss of money. It's going to get ruined. Can you plant a new field in Chol HaMoed? Nope. Because that's not a loss of money. You don't do it now. Do it after Yom Tov. So you can't do that. So it's similar in a certain respect to Beis HaShalchan. Beis HaBaal, the rain field, doesn't need any irrigation. So then you can't irrigate it on Yom Tov, on Chol HaMoed.
If you don't water your grass for a week, it'll get ruined.
Sure it does.
But it's all on time was today anyway.
No relevance. That's why I don't know.
No, that's only a shalif about Yom Tov itself. Can you do a Shabbos? Can you do it on a timer?
Could.
What do you mean you could? I didn't know you could.
Because not. What's the word? Forgot the word. Makes noise whenever in the house.
But the question is, can you do things on a timer?
It's outside the house.
Why? It's outside. It's your house.
No, but it doesn't make noise.
It's not a question of noise. It's a question of noise.
It's a question of optional.
Why? It's not only a question of optional.
So what?
Not all poskim hold you can use timers for whatever you want.
Right. Now you can't use ver.
Why?
Dishwasher, dryer.
Why?
Because it makes it not Shabbos stick.
And watering the lawn is?
You know.
What? What are you long as Shabbos dick?
So what's the answer?
The many hold that, okay, not allowed to, but most poskim hold. There are poskim that hold, like Rav Moshe Feinstein holds, you cannot use a timer for anything but lights and air conditioning. That's it.
Why those?
Because that everybody knows goes on timers.
Today everybody knows.
Oh, so that's why some poskim right today that everybody knows the lawn goes on a timer. But you can't. We were learning Sunday morning. We were learning. You can't put a coffee maker on before Shabbos to go on Shabbos morning to get freshly brewed coffee. Because you can't cook even on a timer. Certain things you're not allowed to do even on a timer.
You get a recall?
The what?
You get a recall.
A recall what?
Oh, you can redo the halacha.
Okay.
If the gardener comes on Yom Tov,
you have to send them away.
So what if...
The only shaila is, by the way, based on the Mishnah we're learning now, can you have your gardener come on Chol HaMoed? Because the question is there a loss of money if he doesn't cut the grass? It's not so simple.
He's on a monthly pay.
So what?
Can they come anytime if you're just paying them on a monthly pay?
But if he comes every week and Yom Tov is 7 days or 8 days, there has to be one day of Chol HaMoed or Yom Tov.
What about Shabbos, though? I mean, if he comes on Shabbos,
you have to send him away. For
even
sure.
You're paying him just for
doesn't matter.
Any time of day. So you cannot benefit at all, even if you're not telling him specifically.
You cannot benefit. You cannot have somebody do malach in your house on Shabbos or Yom Tov, even if you're not paying him by the hour, you're paying him by the job, and he comes when he wants.
You can or
cannot?
You cannot have
him. No. So to have him come on Yom Tov, the Mishnah's not even talking about Yom Tov, the Mishnah's even talking Chol HaMoed. But I'm saying even Chol HaMoed, because then you go into an issue number two that we'll learn later. If I can't do something in Chol HaMoed, can I have a guy do it for me? Because the Mishnah's only talking about us doing it. The Malach and Chol HaMoed, you're not allowed to. The question is the guy allowed to do it for you? And the answer is, if you can't, then the guy can't. If you can't, then a guy can't do it.
Why is that? Is that strict to Shabbos?
In this respect, it's a strict to Shabbos. I'll give you another practical example that we can learn from this mission also later on. Can you do laundry on Chol HaMoed? No, it's a malacha. The only heter is, like we learned, one of the heterim of malacha is Tzerech HaMoed. What happens if I need the suit for Yom Tov and I don't have any other suit, or the tablecloth got dirty from the first day's Yom Tov, I don't have any other tablecloth, I need the Tzerech HaYom Tov, Tzerech HaMoed. So like the Mishnah says, things which are Tzerech HaMoed, then you're allowed to do it on Chol HaMoed.
Like you said, you're not supposed to take your clothes to dry cleaner either.
Right, that's insane. The laundry cleans, all that stuff. The only heter is if it's Tzerech HaMoed. And even then, by the way, even when the Mishnah is matir Tzerech HaMoed, that's only things that you must have for Yom Tov. You can't say, okay, I'm putting up a load already. You know, I need three things for the last days of Yom Tov, so I'll put up 20 things. It's in the same machine anyway. It's just, it's running already. What's the difference? No. No cheating. Okay.
If a poor man comes on Yom Tov,
a poor man is not such a malacha.
He uses the filter and he cleans the pool.
What's cleaning a pool? Technically, you can clean a pool on Shabbos too.
Not beir.
What beir? You'll have to wash dishes?
Out of the water.
It's no beir on Chol HaMoed.
No, on Yom Tov itself. So Yom Tov's Wednesday, he comes every Wednesday.
No.
What?
Then you can't. Okay.
No, him, not
I understand, but if you can't do it, he can't do it. He becomes your shliach.
A housekeeper?
They're only allowed to do what you're allowed to do.
But how is
that Bader taking leaves out of the pool?
Why isn't it Bader?
I'm asking him.
Of course, you're separating bad from good.
Why is it a sur for you to use him if he just comes whenever he wants? That's the question. I mean, in other words, you're not telling him to do it on the specific day. He's just coming that day.
So Shulchan Aruch says, yeah, from the Gemara, the reason for that is because are you allowed to pay him for the per hour? For Shabbos?
No.
No. So it says, people will think that you're paying him per hour, They don't know you're giving him a job and he's coming whenever he wants. All they're going to see is a guy working for you on Shabbos. Right.
This is common knowledge.
Therefore, if you own a property in South Central that nobody knows it's your property, and a guy is hired to do a job, you don't care when he comes. So then I'll be then. If he comes on Shabbos, he can come. Because nobody knows it's your house. See, in Shulchan Aruch it uses the expression Techat Chum or Chus L'Tchum. In the Tchum of the city, where everybody knows everything, what's still going on. So then you can't even have a Kablan, meaning a guy who's paid per job, because people don't know that. And they see him working on your property, and they're going to think he's paid per hour, and then you're paying him on Shabbos, which is Samar Sayin forbidden. But outside the Tchum, where people don't know it's your building, or people don't know it's your farm or whatever, and they see somebody working, I'll give you more practical, even though we're going off in the Gemara, but what happens is the telephone company has to come to fix the wires outside the house, not inside the house. If there's something wrong on the telephone pole, you know, in those wires. And they want to come to fix it on Shabbos. And you don't care when they come. They're coming really to fix it for you. But you're not telling them to come on Shabbos. You don't care if they come Friday or Sunday or whatever, right? So people see a guy working on a telephone pole. They don't know it's in your house. It could be anywhere. So then you're allowed. But if they're coming to work in your house, in your backyard, on the wires, then they can.
Otherwise, it's not asur, it's just because of a marasayin.
But marasayin is asur.
I
mean, that's it.
Okay,
I mean, okay, now the Gemara is going just into the expressions of the Mishnah. We said before, Beis HaShalchan means an irrigated field. And Beis HaBaal means a rain field. So the Gemara asks, where did we get these expression of Beis HaShalchan to mean an irrigated field? And where do we get Beis HaBaal to mean a rain field? So the Gemara asks, "My mashmadai Beis HaShalchan, lishin detzachusahi, how do I know that the word Shalchan means a thirsty field? Because a field that needs to be irrigated is because it's thirsty. It doesn't get enough water. So Gemara said, where do we see in Torah that there's an expression of Beis HaShalchan to mean thirsty? So he says, the chzid, because it says in the Pasuk, Ve'ata ayev yageya by Amalek over there. It says, you were tired, thirsty and tired, or weak and tired. And the Targum on the word says, Va'at Mishalhei Veloi. You were Mishalhei, and veloy means exhausted. Now, in Hebrew, ches and hey are interchangeable in the Aleph base. So you could read it mishalhai, and you could read it mishalche. So over there, what does it mean? Faint. Meaning the field is faint because it doesn't get enough water. You need to feed it more water. So Gemara says that's the source in Chumash why a beis hashalchan means an irrigated field that's thirsty and you need to irrigate it. Then the Gemara asks, "Well, my mashma the Beis HaBaal lishan de miyasyav yusehi. Where do we see that the word Beis HaBaal means literally means the rain field?" But the Gemara says, "What does a rain field mean? It's settled. That means you don't need. It's not thirsty. It's, you know, it's doing well." So it says, "Where do we see that?" So it says in the pasuk dechsev, because it says in the pasuk ki yiv al bachar besula, if a man lives with a virgin girl. And it says, Metagamin, so then it says, your children will live with you. So you shall your children live with you. So it says, Metagamin, Targum says, on this pasuk, Hare kumadimites of ulam in besuta, like a young man settles down with a virgin, yithyatvum begayavich banayach, so will your children settle in you. Meaning, the pasuk over there says, a man will settle down with a girl. See, you see the word bi'ila, baal, means he'll settle down with the girl. Doesn't only mean he'll live with her. It means he'll settle down with her. So you see, a Beis HaBaal refers to a settled field. What's the definition of a settled field? There's enough rain, it doesn't need any more watering, and it's able to sustain itself as it is. So the Gemara is just explaining the different opinions, you know, what Beis HaShalchan means and what Beis HaBaal, the definition of the words. Okay, so now the Gemara is asking a new question. This is what we discussed before. We mentioned before that Chol HaMoed, you're only allowed to do things which will stop you from losing money. But things that will stop you from a profit, you're not allowed to do. Okay, and that's the implication of Mishnah, because all the things the Mishnah said you're allowed to do is because otherwise you're going to lose money. The Mishnah is not talking about a loss of profit. And Bechlal, even before we go into the Gemara, there's a very interesting argument in Poskim. If I cause you damages, I have to pay. That's a given, right? If I take your $100 watch and I break it, I have to pay $100. What happens if I cause you not to make a profit? I don't damage you. I don't make you lose money. But I do something that doesn't allow you to make a profit. In Gemara Lashon, what we're talking about here is called Maniyah Saravach. It's stopping you from making a profit. Do I have to pay money or not?
How do you translate
Maniyah? Maniyah means holding back from making a profit. If I hold you back from making a profit, do I have to pay you? I'll give you a simple example. You have something that you could sell at a big profit right now. Yeah? $1,000 profit. And whatever it is, I don't let you do it. I tie you down. I tell the guy, I go to tell the guy, you know what, don't buy it from him. Yeah. Whatever it is.
I'll buy it for higher, you won't buy it.
Whatever. But the bottom line is, I don't cause you loss of money. I just cause you not to make a profit.
Lots of opportunity, right.
So there's a machlaikis in Poskim, in Achreinim, if Bezin can make you pay for that. There's a big discussion in Steichemet about it, and some people want to learn that the machlaikis Hezekri, or Shmei Hezek are not like that. But here the Gemara is saying, though, as far as Cholameid goes, one thing our Mishnah says, if it's Pseida, if it's loss, you're allowed to do malacha. If it's Meniyas HaRevach, not to make a profit, then you're not allowed to do malacha. So the Gemara is going to ask now, where do we find the Tana? Which Tana says such a din? That loss you could do, and lack of profit, you're not allowed to do Cholameid. So the Gemara asks, Man Tana, which Tana holds? The Pseida in that only Cholameid, you're allowed to do things which will stop you from losing money, but not things that will cause you not to make a profit. And also the second aspect the Mishnah said was, Afilu b'malkim pseida, even in the case of a loss, where we do permit melach on Cholameid, but it's only mitrach namile techinen. It's only if there's not excessive work. And as the Mishnah says, two general guidelines. Number one, you can only do work Cholameid if it's mamash a loss. And secondly, even when we permit you to do it for a loss, but not if it's excessive work. That's why you can't make new canals on Cholameid and all that. So Gemara said, which Tana do we find in Shas? Hold such a din. So Gemara says, Amar Avuna, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakivu. So Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakiv. The Tanan, because it says in the Mishnah later on, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakiv, Amar, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakiv says, Meishmei shchina samayim me'ilin le'ilin. He holds, you can divert tree, water, from one tree to another tree on Cholameid. That means, what happens if one tree has a lot of water by its base, and another tree doesn't have enough? So the question is, can I divert the water from tree A to tree B? So Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says you're allowed to. But, ubavad shleyashkes asodeh kula. You have to make sure when you're diverting the water, it goes straight from tree to tree. You can't water the whole field while you're doing it. Because that's already a lot of work. That's a tircha. So therefore, the Gemara says like this. What do we see that the Belazar permits? The Belazar ben Yaakov permits is the case of our Mishnah. The only way you're allowed to do it is to improve productivity of the tree. That if you're going to water the whole field, and if you don't water the field, it's just going to be a loss of profits, you're not allowed to do it. Because they said you're not allowed to water the whole field. Just from one tree to another tree. Why? Because then you're preventing a loss. But you can't water the whole field, because that's only not a profit. So l'chei, that's exactly what our Mishnah says. That for a loss you could do it, and not for a profit. So the Gemara says, no, 1 minute. Eimed the shamitza leila Rabbi Eliezer. But what does Rabbi Eliezer say? Only part one of what we're looking for in our Mishnah. A Tana that says two dinim. Number one, you can only do it to save a loss of money, but not to stop a profit. That granted, Rabbi Eliezer says. But we're looking for the second half of the Mishnah too. What does the second half of the Mishnah say? That even when it's a loss, and you're allowed to work, but not excessive work. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov doesn't say that. We need to find a Tana that says both dinim of our Mishnah. Number one, you could only do it to stop a loss, not to stop a profit. And secondly, that you're only allowed to do it if there's not a lot of work. So we don't find Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov saying that. So it says, Tirchu b'makom pseida mishametlei. But did Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov speak about extra excessive work? That you're not allowed to, even if there's a loss of money, that we didn't find him saying. So the Gemara is asking, so who's the Tana of our Mishnah? It says both dinim. So the Gemara says, Allah, Amen, Rav Papa says, Amani Rabbi Yehudihi. Our Mishnah goes according to Rabbi Yehuda. What does Rabbi Yehuda say? The Tanya that says in the Braise says like this, Mayin Ayesa Betchila, a new spring, a new canal that just was made, Mashki mimenu afilus sedei beis abal. Not like our Mishnah. This Tana says you can even water the rain field with it. An cholameid. Divrei Rav Meir. That's what Rav Meir holds. Rav Meir holds you can even water a rain field even with the new canal. Rabbi Yehuda says no. That's like our Mishnah says. E mashkin el asada beis shalchan shechorva. You're only allowed to water a basa shalchan that dried up. And the Gemara is going to explain what that means. Rabbi Elazar ben Azayah emet. Rabbi Elazar ben Azayah is a third opinion. He says, Leikach v'leikach. No, you're wrong. What does he say? Yes, Ralkein Amir Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said even more. Le'yefana adam ames amayim, a person cannot clean out an irrigation canal. V'yashka le'ginosei, and water his garden, u'l'chuvbasei, or to his ruin. The Gemara is going to explain what this means. V'cholah shalmeit, Rabbi Yehuda holds, you can't even clean out your canal, you cannot water from his garden, you can't do anything in cholameit. So the Gemara asks right away, "My chava, what does this mean that an irrigated field had dried up?" Rabbi Yehuda, the first Rabbi Yehuda, said, "You're allowed to water a beis hashalchan that dried up." So the Gemara said, "What do you mean that dried up? What do you mean by that?" So he said like this: "Ilei mechava mamish, if it's completely dried, that nothing is growing, lamele demashka, what's the purpose of watering it? It's like you're watering a desert." The Gemara says, if it's so perched, it's so dried up, what are you going to gain by watering it? So he says, so what does it mean? Amr Abaya, Abaya says what it means is like this. Not that the earth dried up. Sharcharva mimayin zeh. This spring dried up, and you want to water it from a different spring. You water from a different spring to the field. And therefore, you want to bring it from one spring to another spring. You know, to move the irrigation thing over. And then he says, why? Because if you don't do that, this spring dried up. If you don't bring water from somewhere else, this field will get ruined. So he says, you're allowed to do that. Then he says, Rabbi Elazar ben Azayah, in the third opinion, the Braise says, Rabbi Elazar ben Azayah says, Leikach v'leikach, neither that nor meaning, what does Rabbi Elazar ben Azayah say? He means, Leishna chorev meimayna. Well, it doesn't matter whether it dried up, or Leishna melei chorev meimayna, or it didn't dry up. The first Rabbi Yehuda said, if the field dried up, meaning the spring dried up, you're allowed to water it from somewhere else. Rabbi Elazar ben Azayah says, that's not what Rabbi Yehuda said. Or that's what, not what he holds at least. What does he say? It doesn't matter if the well dried up. It doesn't matter if the spring didn't dry up. Mayan Shayasa Betchila Loi. Whatever it is, a new spring, you can't use. That's what Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says. That means Rabbi Yehuda holds, you can use a new spring to save the field. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, you can't use a new spring. Regardless. Okay? Now, what do you see from here? What does Rabbi Yehuda permit? In this din, Rabbi Yehuda only permits a field that was already watered. That means you're not starting a new field. He's only permitting a field that was watered, and you can't use excessive work to do it. Because he says you can only water from tree to tree, you can't water the whole field. So you see from here a few interesting dinim, which is exactly what our Mishnah says. Rabbi Yehuda says you're allowed to water even from a new Beis HaShalchan, okay, like our Mishnah says, but that's only because if you don't do it, you're going to lose money. It's going to be a loss.
Even from a new Beis HaShalchan?
Yeah, well, our Mishnah says also, Betchila. Not a new field, a new canal.
A new canal.
A new canal, you're right. A new canal, you're allowed to do it. A new Beis HaShalchan, Taka Rabbi Yehuda says you can't. Because there's no loss, nothing. You didn't plant it yet. You didn't water it yet. The only loss is when it was watered already, and then in the middle of the process it dries up, so then you're going to lose everything that grew, or that sprouted, whatever. So you see clearly Rabbi Yehuda holds the following. Number one, to water a new place, he can't. Like the grass, he can't. The rest of the field. He holds you could water it only if there's a loss, not for a profit. And he says you can't make a new one, only if it's existing already you could use it, even though it's a new well. But to make new things that you can't do. Meaning, Rabbi Yehuda says clearly, excessive work, you're not allowed to do Chol HaMoed. So we find one Tana, Rabbi Yehuda, that says everything our Mishnah says. Number one, it has to be only a loss of money. Secondly, even then, it's not excessive work. Well, that's what our Mishnah says. And the Mishnah is a Stam Mishnah, so the Halacha is like the Mishnah. But
so if you held them back on Chol HaMoed for making their profits, then for sure you wouldn't be high up to pay.
Why?